Right now, we're going to go to the Mideast, where we talk to our longtime friend. 1984, Dave Dolan and I started working together, and he has been a valued partner in our weekend talks over the years. I know he's a valued partner with a lot of other people, specifically CBS, so many other ministries that he's worked with. Dave, thanks for joining with us today.
Well, it's good to be with you, Jim, and congratulations on at least being the host this week, and I won't tell your dad.
That's great. We're having a great time together. Dave, looking forward, I just came back from Israel. We were there for 2 weeks over the Holocaust Remembrance Day. Of course, Remembrance Day and the Independence Day. We were there on the eve of Independence Day. Could you just tell those that are listening what it's like during these 2 weeks, especially during these two times of remembering those 6 million Jews that went to their death in the Holocaust, and then, of course, what takes place on Independence Day?
Well, Jim, you know, it's a unique set of, I guess you could call them holidays, but of course, a very somber one on Remembrance Day, certainly, and Holocaust Day. These are unique in that they are the only set of holidays in the Jewish calendar, in the annual calendar, that are not religious-based holidays. Passover, of course, Sukkot, the Feast of Tabernacles, Pentecost, Shavuot, all of these are from the Bible, and the only ones that aren't are these sets. But, of course, they're due to the reemergence of the State of Israel after 2,000 years of not being in the Middle East, 2,000 years of Jewish exile from the Promised Land, from the Holy Land, to the four corners of the earth. And you and I know, and I'm sure most of your listeners know, that the Bible did say that the Jews would be regathered in the end days to their ancient land, and that that would be a miraculous thing. They'd come from all over the earth, and that's what's happening. And, of course, one of the reasons that so many nations voted to establish a Jewish state in 1947 at the UN was the Holocaust and what had happened to the Jewish people, a third of them slaughtered, including over a million children in that terrible mass atrocity that was really an attempted genocide on Hitler's part. And then to follow that with the fallen soldiers a week later is very moving, because these are the modern Jews, the ancestors of those people, some of whose parents or grandparents perished or survived the Holocaust, and other relatives. So it's very moving always. And then to spring right into Independence Day, you know, 1 minute it is Remembrance Day for the fallen soldiers and security forces, and the next minute, dusk, it becomes a celebration of the country. And again, it's jarring to some people, but you are freshly reminded every year in Israel the cost of Israel's independence, that the Holocaust was part of it, that the anti-Jewish pogroms and slaughters and inquisitions and all the things that happened over the centuries were another spur for Israel to reemerge, for the Jews to want their own state again, and then to get it at the cost of this blood, and then they really are in a mood to celebrate and to just be joyful and thank God for their existence in 66 years now. And I moved there when Israel was only 33. So becoming mature, almost ready for retirement, but no, they're not retiring. They're growing, the economy's strong, but many enemies around. And of course, a war is raging in the region as well, as you know.
Sure do, Dave. You know, the interesting thing, while we were there with our group, we had the opportunity for 2 minutes during the sirens to stop, as most of the people of Israel do. They stop their vehicles, they get out of their cars, both on Holocaust Remembrance Day and the remembrance for the fallen soldiers. And it's a sombering time, but it's good to see a nation that doesn't forget. And that's really what Yad Vashem means, a place and a name, that these people didn't go to their death in vain, that they are remembered. And the same with the fallen soldiers. I believe somewhere around 27,000 have fallen, and they remember each one of these, that their name not be forgotten. And of course, Independence Day. Let's turn to the politics of what's taking place right now. Defense Minister Moshe Ya'alon talked about, and he made a statement that there is no Palestinian partner. Let's not delude ourselves. What do you think he meant by that?
Well, that it takes two to make peace. It takes two sides being willing and able to commit to some sort of an accord and carry it out. It takes parties that want that, and it takes courageous leadership. And I think when he looks at the Palestinian leadership, the Palestinian Authority, Mahmoud Abbas, when he looks at the statements coming from some of the members of his own cabinet about the peace process, and when he looks at the overall Palestinian picture where Hamas is a major player, they, after all, won the only national Palestinian elections that were ever held in the year 2005 in January. They won control of the Palestinian legislature, and then were tossed out 2 years later when they staged a coup against the PA down in Gaza. But they're a major force, and they clearly don't want peace at all. They want the caliphate. They want Israel destroyed. No Jewish state, big, small, or whatever. So, he's looking at all those elements and saying, who are we going to talk to here that can actually commit to peace, A, and B, carry it out, and wants it to begin with, Well, Israel wants it. They have a government that's able to enforce it, and we saw that in Gaza in the withdrawal in 2005, how difficult that was for the Israelis to pull their own people out of settlements and out of army bases, whatever, but they did it. They have the ability, he's saying the Palestinians don't, and so it's pointless, basically, to talk with them at this stage.
More than two-thirds of Israelis support freezing peace talks and a decision to suspend negotiations with the Palestinian Authority after the Fatah and Hamas signed a unity deal. What do you think is now the trend, and how will this present a problem to Secretary of State John Kerry?
Well, Jim, the Israeli people over the decades, having lived there all the years and following the polls and following the discussions and listening to what's being talked on television, et cetera, they overwhelmingly want peace. They're overwhelmingly committed to it for obvious reasons. They spend so much money on defense. They have so many enemies, and these terror attacks, et cetera, are so jarring and life-disrupting, and, of course, the possibility of a massive war, missile attacks, and these sorts of things. So they really, really want it, for sure, but are willing to make some pretty significant concessions. At least, again, the polls show the vast majority of Israelis are willing to do that for the sake of peace. But again, they're just seeing what Moshe Ya'alon is seeing, the Israeli public. They look out and they don't see a genuine, committed peace partner that is willing, able, and going to carry out some sort of an accord at this stage. And so they're basically saying to their leaders, why waste your time on this? Let's get on with things that we can actually do and not focus on what we can't achieve, because again, you can't pick your enemy. Israel didn't ask Iran to arm itself against them and to set up a militia against them in Lebanon and support this Palestinian group Hamas against them, but that's what's happening because Iran wants to. So, the Palestinians have to want peace, and that's what the people are saying. And John Kerry can't make it happen by his wanting it to happen either, and that's pretty obvious at this stage.
Do you think in Israel right now that we're inching toward a civil war?
No, because it won't. If there were, this is the irony, a genuine Palestinian peace partner that could carry out a full peace, meaning Israel would have to stage some pretty dramatic withdrawals from certain areas, decide on Jerusalem, etc., that could spark an internal conflict amongst the Jewish people. But as it is now, there's not enough of a reality of that happening for there to be any sort of action on those who might physically oppose a withdrawal from Judea and Samaria. So I don't see that anytime soon.
Very interesting. Dave, as always, it's great coming and talking to you. We appreciate your understanding of what takes place in the Mideast and what's happening there. 1984, who would have thought that you and I would still today be working together? And the Lord has taken us both on different paths, but along the same trail, I would say. And thank the Lord that your analysis, your situation, as you understand what's taking place there, and helping the body of Christ in the United States and around the world to understand what's taking place more in Israel, so that we can understand the times in which we're living in as it pertains to Bible prophecy. Dave, thanks so much. We look forward to talking to you again next week.
Thank you, Jim. God bless.